السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله يقول الله جل وعلا في كتابه الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أعاذنا الله وإياكم منها أجمعين أما بعد. Dear brothers and sisters, this is the second Jumu'ah of the blessed month of Ramadan. And this is the month of fasting, the month that we ideally reduce our consumption. And I would like us to compare today two forms of consumption. Number one, it is said, based on studies, that Americans aged 18 and over spend an average of 37 minutes in food preparation and cleanup. The average time spent in meal preparation, preparing the food and the beverages, serving the food and cleaning it up afterwards, varies quite considerably among different groups. It is said that men spend an average of 22 minutes, whereas women spend an average of 51 minutes. And younger adults, meaning those between the ages of 18 and 24, spend an average of 21 minutes daily in food prep, whereas working age adults, meaning those between 25 and 64, spend 38 minutes in food prep, and those age 65 and older spend an average of 43 minutes preparing their food every single day. That is what we know regarding the latest stats concerning food preparation for the average American. That's food prep. Meanwhile, 85% of US adults own a smartphone as of 2022. And the average American spends 5 hours and 24 minutes on their mobile device each day. Compare that to how much time they spend cooking. On average, Americans check their phones at least 96 times a day, or once every 10 minutes. And as of 2022, which give us the latest stats, we don't have enough for 2023, there are roughly 6.5 billion smartphone users across the world. And that is 86% of the global population. And as of 2022, 62% of all website traffic comes from mobile devices. The takeaway, dear brothers and sisters, is that we are, in fact, much less involved in food on a daily basis than we are with our smartphones. So if we are fasting from one, should we not consider how we might try to fast from the other? I cannot stand on this minbar and speak in front of you and preach for you to get rid of your phone. We know that's not going to happen. I'm not getting rid of mine. You're not getting rid of yours. I'm not telling you to chuck it into the garbage. That's not going to happen. It has become for us a need for so many. But the question I want to ask myself and all of you is, what guidance can we derive from the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that applies to how we use this powerful tool that is capable of so much good and also capable of so much evil? Now, the beauty of the guidance of Allah and the guidance of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that they are universal. The guidance of Allah is universal. The guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is universal. And that means that the guidance of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam apply to every time. They apply to every place. They apply to every situation. And they apply to every single person, no matter what circumstances they are in. And that means that we have a very easy way of understanding and then applying the divine guidance on how we should use these tools. So what follows, dear brothers and sisters, is an examination and a reflection on how we can apply some of the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning the use of mobile devices. First and foremost, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the famous hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. He says that actions are governed by intentions. Actions depend on the intentions behind them. And every person will only have what they intended. Intention, the niyyah, is the core of any action. And social media is no exception to that. This means that we must assess, why am I sharing this? Why am I posting this status update? What is the message I'm trying to convey? Is what I am sharing good? Is it bad? Am I sharing drama? Needless drama? Is it just for controversy? Is it for showing off? Is it to get attention from other people? We have to assess the intentions behind what we post. This is especially true for Muslims who are posting religious guidance. In addition to checking their niyyah, why am I sharing this? They also have to add a second layer to that assessment. Is what I'm sharing Islamically sound? Just because a Muslim speaker said it, doesn't mean it's worth being shared. Just because a Muslim shared it with me doesn't mean I have to share it with everyone else. I have to understand, is this even valid in the first place? So we have to assess our intentions as we use our mobile devices. Another guidance we have from the Prophet ﷺ that applies to how we use our phones is his statement, مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ. From the goodness of a person's Islam is that he leaves what does not concern him. And in all honesty, this hadith is very difficult to apply on social media, because it is so easy on social media to get drawn into things that do not really benefit or concern us. So we do have to assess what we are looking at and what we are sharing, what we are posting. Is it something of tangible benefit for us, either in our dunya, our worldly life, or in our deen? And if it doesn't pass that filter, we have to reassess, should I be sharing this? Should I be engaging in this? Does it really benefit me? Or is it just mindlessness? Another guidance we receive from the Prophet ﷺ that applies to how we use social media is his statement, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whosoever believes in Allah and the last day, then let him say what is good or remain silent. This too is a very difficult advice to apply as we are on social media. And that is because social media is all about sharing and discussing. And how often do we share things? How often do we engage in conversations online that we later come to regret? How many times have you posted something years before and you see years later what you posted and you cringe? You think, oh my gosh, I actually said that. I actually posted that. I can't believe that. So we have to be very critical about what we are sharing, what we are posting, what we are saying online, and what we are consuming. Another guidance that we receive from the Prophet ﷺ that applies directly to how we use our phones is his statement that the example of good company and the example of bad company is that of a perfumist and an ironsmith. Who is a perfumist? The perfumist is the person who has the shop selling the utr. They're the one who mixes the scents and sells them and takes them out of the case and allows you to smell them. That is the perfumist. And the ironsmith is the person working with iron. They have the fire going, they have the anvil, and they're hammering out, they're forging steel, they're smelting the iron and forging it into instruments. That's the ironsmith. The Prophet ﷺ says the example of good company and bad company is that of an owner of a perfumery and an ironsmith. The perfumist, he said, will either offer you a free sample, or you buy it from him, or at least you smell its pleasant scent. You go into the shop, you either buy some, or you get to sample some, or you at least smell the nice scents in the store. He went on to say, and the example of the bad companion is like the ironsmith, for he will either burn your clothes, or you have to smell its unpleasant odor. Even if you don't get burned in the ironsmith's shop, you come out and your garments are dirty, you have soot on your clothes, and even if you don't see anything dirty on your clothes, you come with the smell of smoke. That is the example of the good companion and the bad companion. So this applies directly to how we consume social media and who we engage with, because you are what you feed your soul. You are what you eat, as they say, and you are also whatever you consume. Whatever you feed from your feed is what you become, ultimately. Whether you're feeding things that come through WhatsApp chats, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, TikTok, whatever it may be, you are what you feed yourself. So if we are mindlessly opening our phones and checking our feed while eating and sitting and walking and talking, and for some of us while driving, we are feeding things into our soul. So that feed is what we feed our soul. Are we feeding our soul what will enhance our iman, which will enhance our dunya, which will benefit us in this life and the hereafter? Or are we feeding things which will taint our soul? That is the question we have to ask ourselves as we consume social media. In another hadith giving us guidance, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, love whomever you love moderately. Love whomever you love moderately. Shay'an ma. For perhaps that person will become hated to you. And hate whomever you hate moderately. For perhaps he will become beloved to you someday. There is a lesson here in this hadith, dear brothers and sisters, that applies to how we use social media. We have to be cautious with what we share with others, particularly sharing sensitive issues concerning our own personal lives or family matters. You never know how what you share can be used against you later. You never know how what you share may be taken and someone takes a screenshot, a screen capture, and they keep it and they deploy it and use it against you later on because you are oversharing your personal details. Things that should remain within the family, things that should remain within a very tight circle, you are sharing online, exposing to absolute strangers and even people with bad intentions against you. You are opening yourself up for them to use those things if you overshare. Likewise, in the guidance of this hadith, we learn that if you don't like someone, if you don't get along with someone on social media or in real life, social media is not the place to hash out those differences. Social media is not the place to argue with someone you don't like. Social media is not the place to engage in the public eye with a tit for tat against someone you dislike. Because it is in the public eye. And it's not just you and that person hashing it out. It is you and that person and the public eye for people to get entertained, for people to take and screen capture. What can you do? You talk to them in person, or you block them or remove them. But you have to be very mindful of getting drawn into debates and fighting people online. Because social media, it magnifies the ability for us to love or hate someone. It magnifies that ability far greater than the love or hate we may have for that person in real time, face to face. And I'm sure many of you have heard of this, if not seen it and experienced it yourself. Maybe you're arguing with someone online and you say some very harsh words and they say very harsh words, and it's in back and forth, and it's almost to the point of fighting words. But when you see that person face to face in public, they're not so aggressive, are they? They're not so aggressive. They're a lot softer and gentler. Because when you're face to face, you have real life consequences to running your mouth the way people run their mouth on social media. So social media magnifies that ability for us to love someone or hate someone. It might be a celebrity, it might be a politician, it might even be an Islamic scholar or speaker. So my advice is to not obsess over people with love and hate online. Let it be moderate. And the only people who really have the business of publicizing differences with figures is people who have the ability to articulate truth and do it in a reasoned and measured way that aims at affecting change and guiding people. Likewise, from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that should govern how we use social media is the hadith in which he says sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of my ummah are pardoned, they are forgiven, except for the mujahirun. Now the word mujahir literally means the publicizer or the announcer, but it's something of an ambiguous word. The Sahaba heard this and they were wondering, what exactly does this mean? And so they said, Ya Rasulullah, who are the publicizers, the mujahirun? And he said, a man, a person who commits a sin at night, and even though Allah has veiled him from the public, he comes in the morning and says, I have committed such and such a sin last night. He says, he spent the night veiled by his Lord, and in the morning he removes Allah's veil over himself. This hadith applies directly to how we conduct ourselves on social media. Because when a person sins, their inclination is to hide it so no one finds out. This is natural, and this is coming from a good place, a place of haya, modesty. But social media has corrupted this instinct and opened us up to a very shameful habit. What is that shameful habit? It is one in which people sin and they openly brag about their sins online, whether it is with a public account or whether it is with an anonymous account. They do haram and they post pictures about it, or they at least write about it, bragging about the haram they were doing the night before. So they become mujahirun, publicizers of their sinful lifestyles and practices on social media, in a way that they perhaps would not do in real life and face-to-face interactions with others. So maybe they are hiding their sins in face-to-face interactions with their family, with their community, with their friend circle. But maybe they are mujahirun in social media, whether it's a public account or an anonymous account. So anyone who is engaged in the haram and bragging about it and posting it on social media, they are mujahirun, bihukm al-nabawi, by the prophetic ruling about those who publicize their sins that Allah concealed. It is not uncommon to find people posting pictures of themselves engaged in the haram and illicit behavior online. And when someone is doing this, it's as if they are boasting that they do not care that this action is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A couple of years ago, there was a story circulating online. There was a young girl, a teenage girl, a Muslim girl, and she was posting lots of inappropriate pictures and videos of herself. She was nothing. She was 14, maybe 15 years old. And Allah willed that her soul be taken. She left this dunya. She died. And may Allah have mercy on her. And after she died, her family discovered her social media. And they saw all of these pictures and videos that she was posting online. And the family was going on social media, posting here and there and everywhere, wherever they could find those pictures and videos of their beloved daughter, asking the people, please delete this. Please remove this. Our daughter died. We don't want the sins that she publicized to continue and to endure on social media years after she has died, repeating the sinful activities and images that she took. This applies not just to the young women of our ummah, it also applies to the young men. But the lesson is there. When a person posts lewdness on social media as a Muslim, they are mujahir, they are publicizing their sins. And every time a person is opening that and watching it, it is spreading it further and further, and it becomes an invitation to that. Even if they're not saying, do this, it becomes an invitation because their videos, their pictures are inviting by desensitizing us to that lewdness. We have to be very careful, dear brothers and sisters. And I instruct young men and young women that as they are looking for a spouse, one of the advices I give young men and young women is that as they are considering someone for marriage, they should go onto their social media. They should look at their public profiles and see what kind of pictures are they posting. Who are they associating with on social media? And if they see certain things that are degenerate and lewd, that is a huge red flag. And they should move on and find someone who is not posting things like that. So this is just some of the guidance that we have concerning how we interact with social media. We fast from food in Ramadan. We do not eat and drink from the moment of dawn until sunset. We also must fast with our eyes, we must fast with our ears, and fast with other things, reconsidering our social media use and our phone use. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us with guidance. May Allah give us haya, modesty in how we engage in social media. May He give us balance and enable us to use these powerful tools for good. and may He keep us from using them for evil. May He give us a principled use of technology and take us away from the paths of misguidance. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان المتلازمان على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. Dear brothers and sisters, the internet, the World Wide Web, is also called the information highway. It is called the information highway or information superhighway. And as a highway, we have guidance from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that governs how we conduct ourselves. In one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْجُلُوسَ فِي الطُّرُقَاتِ. He told the companions, beware of sitting on the turuqat, the roads, the passageways, the highways. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, we have no alternative. That was the only place to gather and socialize in their time. So he's warning them from sitting on the roads, the highways. And they say, we have no alternative. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if you insist on sitting there, then you have to give the highway or the road its rights. And they ask, Ya Rasulullah, what are the rights of the highway? And he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is lowering the gaze. It is refraining from harming others. It is returning greetings and enjoining what is good and forbidding what is evil. These are the four huquq of the turuqat, the four rights of the highway. And these are also the four rights of the information superhighway by extension. And we start with the first right that he mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, غَطُّ الْبَصَرُ, lowering the gaze. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah An-Nur, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُطُّ مِنْ أَبَصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُ فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. He says, tell the believing men that they must lower their gazes and safeguard their private parts. That is purer for them. Indeed, Allah is all aware of what they do. The command to lower the gaze, dear brothers and sisters, is not exclusive to males. Because in the very next verse, Allah says, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. He says, tell the believing women, they too must lower their gaze and safeguard their private parts. Now in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says yaghuddu, which is a present tense verb. It is fi'l mudari', a present tense verb, using the word from the masdar ghadd, which means to bring down or to lower. So a Muslim, male or female, lowers his or her gaze and guards his or her chastity. And this is done not only to prevent them from engaging in sinful relationships, but is also to refrain from looking towards that which is sinful and immodest. The biggest struggle people have on social media, males and females, but largely with males, is the gaze, the images that pop up, or the images that one seeks out. One of the great scholars of our tradition, Al-Imam Ibn Qattal Al-Fasi rahimahullah, tells us in his work Ahkam al-Nadhar, a book dedicated in 500 pages to the rulings governing the gaze, the eyes. He says the sense of sight is one of the doors to the heart. It is the most well-trodden path leading to the heart. And after breathing, the sense organ of sight is the most frequently used part of a person's body. It is the biggest gate. We fast from food and drink in Ramadan. And we've been speaking about fasting with the eyes and the ears. But of these sense faculties, The sense of sight is the biggest gate, which means the most of good and bad can enter through that gate. Imam Ibn Hibban, he explains that to look at a non-mahram, meaning a person who is unrelated, to derive pleasure is prohibited, haram. And to stare at them without deriving pleasure, when without a need, is makruh, it is disliked. One should lower their gaze. And in a hadith recorded also by the same Imam, Ibn Hibban, with a weak chain, he transmitted that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the unrestrained glance is sahmun masmun min siham iblis. Sahmun masmum min siham iblis. The unrestrained glance is a poisoned arrow from the arrows of the devil. He says, whosoever forsakes it, who leaves the unrestrained glances out of fear of me, fear of Allah, I shall replace it with faith, whose sweetness he will find in his heart. So when a person struggles to rein their gaze in, it is not easy. But as they struggle, they will find halawatul iman, they will find the sweetness of faith in their heart. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ عَلَى بِنِ آدَمَ حَظَّهُ مِنَ الزِّنَا أَدْرَكَ ذَلِكَ لَا مَحَالَ فَزِنَ الْعَيْنَ النَّظَرُ وَزِنَ اللِّسَانَ الْمَنْطِقُ وَالنَّفْسُ تَمَنَّى وَتَشْتَهِي وَالْفَرْجُ يُصَدِّقُ ذَلِكَ كُلَّهُ وَيُكَذِّبُ. He says that the son of Adam has been destined his share of fornication, zina, which he will inevitably acquire. He says the eyes fornicate by looking, the ears fornicate by listening, the tongue fornicates by speaking, the hand fornicates by hitting, the foot fornicates by stepping, and the heart loves and wishes, and the genitals prove or disprove that. This is not the zina that is a major sin, a kabira from the kabair of literal fornication, but it is speaking about the gateways to actual fornication through the unrestrained glance and more. Ibn Qayyim, he says that between the eyes and the heart, there is a connection where one affects the other. And if one of them becomes good, the other will become good. And if one becomes corrupt, the other will become corrupt. He says, if the heart becomes corrupt, then the gaze will become corrupt. If the heart becomes corrupted, the gaze becomes corrupted. And if the gaze becomes corrupted, the heart becomes corrupted. So how do we solve this problem? How do we arrest this issue? We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything, because we cannot do it alone. We turn in Allah ta'ala in sincere supplication and dua, turning to Him and seeking refuge in Him. One very powerful dua that we receive from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the dua, Allahumma tahhir qalbi min al-nifaq, wa amali min al-riya, wa lisani min al-kadhib, wa aini min al-khiyana, fa innaka ta'lamu kha'inata al-a'yuni wa ma tukhfi al-sudur. This powerful dua, it means, O Allah, by all your names, I ask you to purify my heart from hypocrisy, and to purify my actions from showing off, and purify my tongue from lying, and purify my eyes from deception. For indeed, you know the deception of the eyes and what the breasts conceal. This dua is very powerful, making it with the intention of guarding our hearts, guarding our actions, guarding our tongue, and guarding our eyes. Likewise, the way we arrest this problem is to be very aware of the benefits of lowering the gaze and very aware of the harms of the unrestrained looking at the haram. Lowering the gaze, online or offline, is ta'ah, it is obedience to Allah Ta'ala. Lowering the gaze online or offline prevents the poisoned arrows of the devil from reaching our heart. Lowering our gaze online and offline strengthens the heart and enables it to focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is because the gaze, the unrestrained gaze, is a major reason why so many people struggle to focus in prayer. Because their subconscious is filled with so many images. It's too busy with the images that they have put into them from online and offline, that when they go into the salat, they find themselves unable to focus. So removing those and preventing them from coming back in is a means of having more khushu', more humility and presence of heart in the prayer. Lowering the gaze online and offline brings life to the heart and it strengthens one's will. To remind ourselves of these benefits in lowering the gaze, we will have more tawfiq insha'Allah, more ability from Allah Ta'ala to fulfill this Islamic command. Likewise, we should be reminding ourselves of accountability before Allah and His muraqabah, His watchfulness over us and what we consume. And lastly, dear brothers and sisters, we have to have our own accountability partners, good friends, good companions. We have to keep ourselves busy with what is useful, blocking what is haram. The person who has so much free time ends up consuming what is haram because they don't have things going on in their life that fill their time with what benefits them in dunya and in hereafter. Dear brothers and sisters, the internet and social media platforms have become a fixed part of most people's lives. And they are facilitators, they are educators, they are entertainers and more. So living in the age of means and access, a Muslim is one who is principled. A Muslim is one who is ethical. A Muslim is one who is responsible in his endeavors and in his decision making. So we fast from food and drink, but we must also fast with the other senses from the haram. And we should start, I believe, with our social media consumption. Not just how long we're on it, but most importantly, what exactly we are letting into our hearts through our eyes and through our ears. Allahumma tahir qulubana min al-nifaq, wa a'malana min al-riya, wa alsinatana min al-kadhib, wa uyunana min al-khiyana, fa innaka ta'lamu kha'inata al-a'yuni wa ma tukhfi al-sudur. We ask Allah to purify our hearts from hypocrisy and purify our actions from showing off. And purify our tongues from lying, and purify our eyes from deception. For indeed, Ya Allah, you know the deception of the eyes and what the breasts conceal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, the enabling grace, to fast not just from food and drink, but to also fast with our eyes, to fast with our ears, to fast with our limbs, and to fast with our heart from everything that distracts us from our purpose and everything that takes us away from earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month and every month and in all of our lives. Ameen. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin zainal mursaleen wal akhyar wa akrama man adlama alayhi al-laylu wa ashraqa alayhi an-nahar. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.